Hello, welcome to Bong Table. This is just another mass solo cast, and today I'm going to be talking about 100 Kingdoms, similar to the vein to Apex Chinchilla, who talks about Wadroon. Apex did character rankings and kind of judging their warband and how they fit into Wadroon faction as his first couple videos. Myself, I made one video of it and didn't think it was very good, so I'm going to do what I know about 100 Kingdoms, and like, really know. I found 100 Kingdoms kind of weird to talk about as a faction, just because a lot of its power comes from list building. But there are a couple archetypes in the faction that people want to know about, and how they work, and what to do with them. So, this discussion is going to be about cavalry. 100 Kingdoms is the jack-of-all-trades faction, kind of have a tool for everything for the entire game in the faction, and it depends on if you brought that tool in your list to that game, and it'll help you. So, like, if you're going up against a lot of monsters and brutes, maybe grabbing some Hunter Cadre will help you. If you're going up against a lot of cheap infantry, maybe grabbing some Order of St. Lazarus, something with a bunch of other attacks, Steel Legion will do, like, something that is pretty accurate and has a bunch of attacks. If your opponent is kind of running stuff that isn't very impactful punch-wise, but there's a lot of it, you could maybe bring some Anvils, Household Knights, Men-at-Arms, Ashen Dawn. There's usually something in the faction for everything that you're going to encounter. You just gotta bring it in your list. So today is going to be about cavalry, and I'm just going to go through the Mounted Noble Lord, the Priory Commander of the Crimson Tower, Priory Commander of the Sealed Temple, Mountain Squires, Household Knights, Order of Crimson Tower, Order of Ashen Dawn, Order of Sealed Temple. And I'm just going to give an overview of the cavalry, some of the things that you want to look at and how you build them, and some tips and tricks, stuff like that. So let's start. We're starting with the Mounted Noble Lord. This guy's movement 7, 3 clash, 5 attacks, 5 wounds, 3 defense, 3 resolve, and has a shield. He's Brutal Impact 2 with Impact 3. His supremacy ability is Speed of Horse. While this character stands on the battlefield, all Household Knights regiments gain the Impact plus 1 special rule and reroll failed hit rolls of 6 when resolving impact attacks. This supremacy is always considered to be active. Okay, so right off the bat, he really wants Household Knights, and you kind of either want to build him into a buff bus of Household Knights, so that's going to be a big Household Knight unit with like 5 to 6 stands with all the bells and whistles and upgrades, or you want to take multiple MSU Household Knights running around doing their thing. But he is going to be wanting Household Knights. It's a very specific supremacy, but if you're taking him, you're most likely going to be taking Household Knights and getting work out of that supremacy. His, just as a caveat here, his plus one impacts in his supremacy also affect him because he will be part of a Household Knight regiment when he's attached to it. So his impact of 3 will go to 4 as well, and he will also be rerolling 6s. For heirloom, stuff you kind of want to take on this guy, some things you might be looking at. If you're going into the vein of making a big buff bus of Household Knights, or actually let's talk about him as an individual. He's not bad for a duelist. He's actually pretty competent. 5 wounds with 5 attacks at clash 3. He's defense 3 to 4 with a shield at resolve 3. That's pretty competent. He can take a hit. He's not gonna, do super well into something that's a dedicated duelist. He might win into a Conning Gear if the Conning Gear rules pretty poorly on his defensive rules and the Mounted Noble Lord rules really well on his clashes. But he has a couple things that can help him out. For weapon arts, he only gets to pick one of these 4. Weapon Master for Cleave 1, usually the go-to. Relentless is Flurry. You don't really need Flurry. Cleave 1 is you're just going to get more work out of. Powerful Physique gives your character Stand Tenacious. Even with duels being more beneficial. I still don't see any value in physical physique. I would not pick that at all, ever. And last one is Duelist, where he gets plus one clash. So with the Mounted Noble Lord, you kind of have a choice here, what's actually really interesting. Weapon Master is always good, because after him and his Helsa Knights hit a regiment, and if they don't immediately evaporate or die, that Cleave 1 is going to be super helpful, doing that extra bit of damage to kill them off. However, Duelist gives you plus 1 Clash, so you go from Clash 3 to 4, and now that you're at Clash 4 and you're rerolling 6s, you're at a pretty good point to make use out of your Brutal Impact 2 on your 4 impact attacks. You can take Olaphain's Roar, which gives you plus 1 Clash when you charge, only for your impacts, and Terrifying 1 for only for your impacts. So, and take Duelist, so you could go from Clash 3 to 4 with Duelist, 5 from Olaphain's Roars, and then rerolling 6s from the Supremacy. You can get them up there. I don't think you really need to go that far, because if you're taking Olaphain's Roar on the Mounted Noble Lord, you're going to be Clash 4 with reroll 6s. That's good enough to get a lot of work done. Might as well make his Clash action be Cleave 1. Kind of thing. For a bit of heirlooms on him, that might be useful. I've already mentioned Olaphain's Roar. This is going to be a big one for all the cavalry because it gives Glorious Charge. So, just to make it clarify, impact attacks are resolved with plus 1 Clash and Terrifying 1 until end of round. Having Terrifying 1 on your impacts, usually super good, so you'll charge in, hit your opponent, do a bunch of impact attacks with your plus 1 Clash, do a bunch of damage, then your opponent's going to be rolling minus 1 on the resolve. You can wipe some people out with this. You can make a big Death Star or the buff bus Household Knight unit. Another heirloom that might be interesting to take on him is Armor of Dominion. This one's kind of... I might like add this in as more of a... like towards the Imperial Officer, but it's always something there, and there's a couple funny builds. Like if you put this on a prior commander in a unit of Order of Ash and Dawn and you take away all your opponent's Cleave and Smite, makes people really sad. So, Armor of Dominion, enemy stands in contact with the character stand, lose all the Cleave X and Smite special rules. That's it. Just for you to know, the stands are affected by this ability have to be in contact with the character. So the most the character can touch is 3 stands. So hopefully when the regiments line up, that you get their full frontage in contact, and you eliminate a large portion of their attacks, and your opponent is only getting one support attack from the stands behind if they are a big unit. I just want to bring that one up there because a lot of the cavalry in 100k is defense 3 with a shield going to 4, so they are actually pretty durable at the defensive stat. And then getting rid of ways that weaken them, Cleave and Smite, just makes it an anvil that people have to deal with, and it's quite funny. So, I just want to talk about that one. There's 2 more in here. Lorien Lance. The character stand may re-roll failed hit rolls when performing impact attacks and gain the Brutal Impact plus 1 special rule. Okay, that's not bad. It's only for the character, so he gets to re-roll all his impact attacks and goes from... and gives Brutal Impact plus 1. So this is not bad on the Mounted Noble Lord. It's 10 points. If you've got 10 points left over, I would grab it. It's pretty good. Going from Brutal Impact 2 to 3 is pretty nice. And what else is on here? Flesh Cleaver. This is kind of something if I have 15 points left over. The character gets Fiend Hunter and Deadly Blades. If you are Cleave 1 with Deadly Blades, you'll actually surprisingly get a bunch of work in when your opponent starts rolling 6s because they'll suffer 2 wounds. The characters usually tend to have higher clash than the rest of the regiment, so they're more accurate. And as well, if you're going this route, you can take the eccentric fighting style and get yourself plus 2 attacks, reroll failed hits, reroll successful defenses. And this is a bunch of points you kind of pump into the character, and he's usually sitting in an MSU of Household Knights, and he's kind of just running around providing support. Being something that can kill stuff in the regiment while the rest of the Household Knights run around and get in the way, and you're kind of just doing like an MSU Household Knight spam. And that's really it for kind of the builds I want to talk about with the Mounted Noble Lord. As I hit a couple of the other units, I'll come back to him and talk about some synergies as how he gives better support. But overall, I like the Mounted Noble Lord. He's pretty solid for what he's doing, but he has a very specific thing he was doing. Our next regiment, I want to talk about the Household Knights before I get to Mount Squires. So, Household Knights. March 7, Clash 2, 5 attacks, 4 wounds, Resolve 3, Defense 3. He has a shield, so they go up to plus 1 for their defense. Impact 3, Brutal Impact 1. For the Household Knights and the Mounted Squires, their banners are free. So you'll always have a banner on these regiments. It's actually really nice. I do like it. Things I don't like about Household Knights is that they are Clash 2. They're supposed to be like some awesome knights that help out their Mounted Noble Lord. Clash 2 doesn't really say these are awesome knights who help out their Mounted Noble Lord. However, they are March 7. Defense 3 with a shield to 4. Resolve 3, they got 4 wounds. They're pretty good off the bat. Objective chuds, so just sitting on zones. They're good anvils and just guys to get in the way to force your opponent to chew through. A lot of weaker stuff will bounce off of them. Something dedicated to kill will kill them, but they kind of put the spot where you'll get into fights with weaker stuff and they'll just sit there and just take hits to the face and be fine with it as you set yourself up. Having March 7 objectives chudge, because they are a medium regiment, is super nice. And it's one of the things in 100k that can really shoot up the board on turn 2 and get into a zone. So that's a really good thing I like about them. I describe Household Knights as the Legos of cavalry in 100k. And this is because you can build them in any way you want. So let's start going into some of the builds. So I've already talked about kind of their base stats. If you're just grabbing some baseline Household Knights with a banner, you're really just running them as MSU spam, kind of covering the flanks of bigger bricks, getting on zones, getting in the way, doing stuff like that. They're quick, they're mobile, they can kind of do those things. With 5 attacks on their Clash 2, they're inspiring the 3. They'll do enough damage to kind of hurt some stuff and maybe win a fight after a while. They're not going to wipe anything out immediately, I find, but you can. I've seen them charge into the side of something, do a bunch of impact damage, do a bunch of Clash damage, wipe out a thing, and be like, oh, sweet, they killed an MSU. Okay, cool. I've also seen them just get charged by something and just sit there for like 2 or 3 turns until they die. But that gives me plenty of time to set something up to kill whatever's killing them. We will go into their buff bust build, as I call it. So you put yourself in veterans, you veteran this unit, you take the officer of the tourney champion. Let's talk about this guy. This regiment adds plus 2 to its charge distance when performing a charge action. So that means their minimum charge distance will go from 7 to 9, and then plus your d6. They don't get to add that plus 2 when they march, they're still going to be march 7, and then their second march is going to be 8 inches with their banner. To veteran something, you need both the banner model and an officer model, and then you have to click the box, and it'll say, hey, veterans perk. You say, I want plus 1 clash or volley. I'm going to go plus 1 clash. However, that does double the point cost of your officer. So tourney champion is 25 points. Now he's 50 points. So it is a bit of a point boost up. But your Household Knights are now Clash 3. You take a Mounted Noble Lord who has taken the Heirloom Olifaint's Roar. So now they will be plus 1 clash and terrifying 1 on the charge. So that Clash 3 goes to 4. Because the Mounted Noble Lord has Speed of Horse, all your Household Knights will be rerolling 6s. So now your Clash 4 reroll 6s on 4 impacts per guy at Brutal Impact 1. Let's say you take 5 of these things, plus the Mounted Noble Lord, so there's 6 of them. You'll see these in like older videos I have on the YouTube channel, what I tended to do, and it was kind of like a Death Star build. And the last thing you can do is you go into Masteries on the Mounted Noble Lord, and you take Tip of the Lance. This is a 35-point mastery. The cavalry regiment this character stand is currently attached to gains the Wedge special rule. So that gives you cleave plus 1. So something I forget is that the Mounted Noble Lord is cleave 1 from Weapon Master, and Tip of the Lance, after they have made a successful charge, will now be cleave plus 1, so he will go to cleave 2. All the Household Knights in that regiment will go to cleave 1, and all of them have 5 attacks. So you'll actually do a bunch of damage on the clash after you do a bunch of damage on your impacts. For some quick math, let's see here. Let's say there was, 6 of them? Yeah, so 6 times 4. So it's 24, clash 4, reroll 6 attacks with brutal impacts. So 20 of them will be brutal impact 1. The last 4 will be brutal impact 2. Really good. And then they will clash. You'll have, if you're 3 wide, you'll have 15 attacks, plus 3 in the back. Well, I guess plus 1 from the leader, so what is it? 10, 1, 2, 3, 13, 14, 1 from the leader. For your Household Knights at Cleave 1, and they will be Clash 4. And then you will have your character who will be also Clash 4, but he'll be Cleave 2. And you can just get a ton of work done with this. So you can build them really small, you can build them really big. I like how much flexibility the Household Knights have for 100 Kingdoms, and that's one of the really things, it's one of the really big things I like about this regiment in the faction, because you can just do a lot. And also, on top of that, they're medium, so they score, they're out pretty early, it's easier to pick. Like, on turn 3, you can roll 4 downs and get them on. Like, it's a pretty solid unit. Next, we get the Mounted Squires. This is another unit that can become a veteran. They also get their banner for free, and their officer is the Princeps. Or, sorry, the Court Palatine, wow. Who gives them Always Inspire while this, the regiment and currently attached character stat always counts as having the Inspired special rule. Sweet. Their stats are March 9, Clash 2, 4 attacks, 4 runes, Resolve 2, Defense 2, but has a shield for Defense 3. They all have Impact 1, but they are opportunists. So, and this is a light regiment. So what's going on here? So these guys are going to be rocketing up the table 19 inches turn 1. Not all the time, because sometimes you don't want to get shot right immediately because you're just shooting up 19 inches. Their Clash 2 kind of sucks, but they do have opportunists. They do have the Court Palatine. I think she's 20 points. No, she's 10 points. Damn. So very cheap for Always Inspire. So you're always going to be Clash 3. You can easily veterans them for 10 more points to get to plus 1 clash, so it's not very hard. And then at that point, you're Clash 3 and Always Inspired to 4. 4 attacks each. If you get into the flank or the back for to trigger opportunists, you're rerolling all your failed hits. You're March 9, so you can actually long bomb a lot of charges. You're not very durable at Defense 2 with a shield and Resolve 2, but because you can go from very far away and quickly close the distance and get to somebody, usually hit first. I like to put the veterans on these guys and get them to that Clash 4, because now it makes them a threat to people, and people will go and deal with them. And so I kind of just run around the sides, looking for opportunities to hit weaker things. So Mounted Squires are looking to kill lights. Mounted Squires are looking to get into the flanks of mediums. They're not really killing heavies. They may get in the way and be annoying. There are great engagement line setters, so they're going to run up the table, set the line of engagement. They also push your reinforcement line super far forward, what's really nice, if you want to start pulling stuff in from the side. I've done that before, combining them with Sealed Temple, where you run the Mount Squire super far forward, Sealed Temple come in from the side, march up, fluid reform into a zone, score it. Works really well. I like Mounted Squires for that fast skirmishing cavalry. That's kind of what they're doing. They're never going to win a straight up fight. You always want to just push in, like position them and push them around. Look for easy kills. Make your opponent scared of them because they can do some work. And look and just try and get them to the back. If they can get into the back end of your opponent, you can swing around and do a ton of damage. Them staying alive longer is one of those things that just kind of prints money. So with our next warband, we're going to the prior commander, Crimson Tower. This guy is March 8. Clash 4, 6 attacks, 6 wounds, Resolve 4, Defense 4. He's Impact 4, Brutal Impact 2, Terrifying 1. His supremacy is the First Blessing. Once per battle, every regiment in the prior commander's warband gains Blessed for this round. Regiments that already have Blessed special rule gain plus 1 to their attack or Harden plus 1. The only reason, the only thing that's ever going to get the Harden plus 1 or plus 1 attack is the Order of Ash and Dawn. Because how this works is that the supremacy is declared at the end of the supremacy phase, after dice rolls have been cast. You then say which regiment are going to be getting the plus one attack or the harden one rule. And you haven't been able to, like, Theus Priest buff someone else, so because, you know, you haven't drawn their card yet. So it's really only the Ash and Dawn are getting this bonus. His stat line's actually pretty solid. He can do some really good fighting. 6 wounds is really good. Defense 4, Resolve 4. This is a really good tanky stat line to do for dueling. Clash 4 is really good. This guy will do some serious work. For impacts, being Clash 4 with 4 in them and Brutal Impact 2, you're going to get a lot of work done with this. Really great. The prior commander of Crimson Tower, I really build one of two ways. Either he is a warlord and he has no upgrades, or he's a warlord with all of Faint's War. That's the only really two ways I build this guy. And the reason for that is I am either taking a bunch of MSUs of Crimson Tower, or I am taking another buff bus of Crimson Tower, because I'm doing the same thing that I was doing with the House of Knights with this big hammer unit, but instead of it being House of Knights, I'm making a Crimson Tower. So that's really it. He's pretty good on the dueling front. Not going to win any awards, but he's no slouch in combat either. He'll kill some wizards, he'll kill some support characters, he'll kill some bottom end duelists as well. Dude doesn't mess around. So let's go into his warband. So Order of the Crimson Tower. This is a heavy shock cav regiment. So March 7, clash 3, 5 attacks, 5 wounds, resolve 4, defense 3, the shield going up to 4. It's actually a pretty good defensive stat line. Having 5 wounds keeps you alive longer than you think. It's actually keeps a stand around from chip damage, from shooting, keeps a stand around from just engagement damage. Their resolve 4 and defense 3 with a shield keeps them pretty good against a lot of attacks that don't have cleave or smite or something. Stuff that's going for them is brutal impact 2. They have 4 impact attacks, they're terrifying 1 base, and they also have wedge, so if they make a successful charge, they will all have cleave 1. Yeah, it says this regiment gains cleave plus 1 until end of round. So that will, I believe that does affect the character. 5 attacks is also really good. Things that I find are not that great with them is that their additional stand cost is 80 each, what's very high. They're pretty expensive at 200 points for what they're doing. March 7 on shock cavalry is kind of not that great because they want to hit first. One of the easiest ways to stop cavalry in this game is to have a chaff unit, some infantry regiment, just march charge the cavalry, and then they're not charging, so they lose out on all their impact attacks, they lose out on all their brutal impacts, the resolve damage from impacting, they lose out on wedge. It's pretty bad. So you really want to set up a hammer and anvil style with the Order of Crimson Towers, except I believe I mapped this out, and the Household Knights at the same point cost just get more work out of them and are end up being like slightly cheaper for the same amount. So yeah, it's kind of a tough pill to swallow. They are, like, I've kind of come around on them a little bit throughout the last year since version 2 started. I didn't like them at all and felt kind of forced to play them just because of what was going on in the meta. And like Dwaghelm and dealing with them and having to get some high cleave or brutal impact to do some work. Now, not so much. It's kind of been brought in a little bit, what's nice. But I still find Order of Crimson Tower to be too expensive for what they're doing. They're not as reliable as other options in the faction. Like, Household Knights are charging 9 inches plus D6, while Order of Crimson Tower are charging from 7 inches plus D6. That 2 inches could be an auto charge. I'd rather be auto in than have a chance to fail, even if I'm unstoppable with a banner. Builds with these guys, like I said, you either take 2 MSUs, so they're unlocks for Order of Ash and Dawn, but people don't really do that anymore. What people seem to be doing lately is that they are doing 5-6 stands with the prior commander with all of Faint's War, bumping that clash 3-4, and just running them as another hammer regiment similar to the buff bus Household Knights. A big thing here is the clash 3 as well. It's not good enough to be reliable for the impact attacks you're getting. I've rolled clash 3 impact attacks and just failed too many over and over again, so I don't really look at it too well, because I really want that All of Faint's War to go to 4. Household Knights do a much better job when they're all super buff, because they are clash 2, veterans to 3, All of Faint's to 4, reroll 6s from the Mounted Noble Lord. You're just getting more hits, what's more damage. Why Brutal Impact 1 compared to Brutal Impact 2, there is for sure a difference there, but if you're not landing hits, your Brutal Impact 2 doesn't mean anything. It's kind of what the problem is, and they're a little, they need like a bit more impact attacks, go from impact 4 to 5, get shock, maybe they have a special rule that says they whenever they charge, their Clash gets plus one. They have built in like Olaphain's Roar basically whenever they charge, but they're still Clash three for when they clash. My big thing is I would like their movement to be increased from 7 to 8, but that's probably never going to happen. Or maybe even a points drop. Like, it's just they're getting there, but they're not there, and I just can't like tell people, hey, you should super use Order of Crimson Tower. It's like, yeah, you can use Order of Crimson Tower. There's a build for them, but it's only one way, and there's better things in the faction currently. So let's get into the better things of the faction. Order of Ashendon. This regiment is another heavy, 240 points, March 7, Clash 4, 6 attacks, 6 wounds, Resolve 5, Defense 4, Evasion 0. This regiment has Blessed, Cleave 1, Impact 3, Fearless. 80 points for additional stand. This is 100k's premium brawler regiment. They take a hit and they deal damage back. Having Clash 4 base on Impact 3, really good. You're going to be hitting a lot of impact attacks. Clash 4 rerolling 6s on your 6 attacks at Cleave 1, really good. You're going to be hitting a lot of your attacks and doing a ton of damage. Blessed, fantastic rule. You can bless defensively on your Defense 4, reroll any fails. Cleave 1, you don't really care about. Cleave 2 is a little tougher because then you go down to Defense 2, but you got Blessed, so you're going to reroll any of those fails to reduce that damage. Being Resolve 5 is crazy good because any damage that goes through now has to deal with Resolve 5, what means you're going to be taking less Resolve damage. You can't be terrified or anything like that because you are fearless. These guys don't mess around. This is your brawler cab. These guys want to be in a fight and just beating people to death. If you look at their weapons, it's a club for a reason. They're there to beat somebody. The usual way you deal with cavalry is you just march charge them so they don't get their impact attacks, and then you just kind of beat them up. You cannot do that with Order of Ashendon. Order of Ashendon will beat you, and that is the fight they want to play. They want one regiment to come and hit them, and then they want to hit that regiment back and kill it. One regiment to come and hit them, and they want to hit that regiment back and kill it. They want to kill a regiment a turn because that keeps their blessed up each turn for whenever they get attacked. Use blessed 9 times out of 10 defensively. The times I do use it offensively is my Order of Ashendon are usually my last card. There's no follow-up that my Order of Ashendon are going to be dealing with. So stuff like that. Because you want to keep them safe, and if you're playing more defensively with them and using their abilities defensively wise, they'll just take less damage, and you can just keep pushing with them with their just high attacks, high clash, and their cleave one. Do a ton of work. This is the premium anvil. This is the premium brawler in 100k. These guys do not mess around. So how do you deal with them? For your opponents, you want to use magic, shooting, or ganging up on them with multiple regiments in the same round. What I mean like that is that you have something that's cleave 1, something that's cleave 2. The cleave 1 thing runs up and stabs them a bunch. Cleave 2 thing runs up and stabs them a bunch. You want them to lose their blessed early so you can get some damage in. They can't bless magic or shooting. So if you have something like Bow Chosen who have piercing shot, strip all their defense away. If you roll 1, do a bunch of damage. Tempest Sorcerer just firing off his fireballs at AP 2. Bless can't affect that. So there are ways around Order of Ashendon. You just gotta plan for it and set yourself up for it to do it when they come in. Order of Ashendon are a restricted option. So you are either going to be taking Order of Sealed Temple or Order of Crimson Tower or Order of the Sword whenever they come out as their unlock. Their current unlock is Order of Sealed Temple because they're 190 points compared to the Crimson Tower's 200 points. So let's go to prior commander of Sealed Temple. Let's talk about this guy. He's 110, same as the Crimson Tower commander. March 8, Clash 4, 6 attacks, 6 wounds, Resolve 4, Defense 4. Sweet. What's he got for special rules? Same supremacy ability as the prior commander of the Crimson Tower. He's got 5 impact attacks. Oh, that's pretty good. Clash 4, really nice. And he has Quicksilver Strike. So Quicksilver Strike says, during a duel, you attack first, and if your opponent is still alive after you're done your clash and the resolve, they will then attack you. If you guys both have the rule, you'll still resolve it simultaneously. With his 6 attacks, at Clash 4, he can pretty handily kill some guys before they get to fight back, if you roll well enough. There are mentions where people are taking, like, eccentric fighting style to give more and more attacks. Long lineages you kind of have to take to get heirlooms. You get long lineage into, like, Flesh Cleaver for Deadly Blades. Calibran, which gives you reroll failed hit rolls during a duel, and the opposing enemy character stat must reroll successful defenses. That's pretty good. I wouldn't really grab Lorien Lance on this guy. You might grab Armored Dominion if you want to throw him in like a unit of Ash and Dawn. That's kind of funny. There's kind of the meme of take five Ash and Dawn, throw it a Priory Commander with Armored Dominion in the middle, and just watch people like really scream. It's a bit overkill for the amount of points you're using, but it is funny if it happens. However, I usually tend to run him with no upgrades. And the big reason why is that I'm just putting points into Ash and Dawn because that's what I want. But overall, he's a good character. He'll kill some people. He can take some hits back. Resolve 4, Defense 4, base is really strong with 6 wounds. He's pretty good for a duelist. I like him a lot. But what I really like him for is Order of Sealed Temple. These guys are 190 points, March 8, Clash 3, 4 attacks, 4 wounds, Resolve 4, Defense 3 with a shield going up to 4. So a lot of 4, 4, 4, 4, 4. Pretty common in 100k. Special rules, Impact 4. Okay, sweet. Fluid Formation. Let's talk about this. This regiment may perform a free additional reform action during its activation. This free reform action must be performed before the regiment takes its first action, or at the end of its activation after all other actions have been resolved. A regiment with a special rule can draw a line of sight from all arcs, not just its front, and may perform the volley action against regiments in its flank or rear as well. Where this is the case, count the closest rank or file of the regiment as its front rank. So, you can see 360, you can spin around. Order of Sealed Temple don't need a banner because of Fluid Formation, because if you're planning to charge someone, you can run up flush, you can activate them, use your before your first action Fluid Reform to reform your regiment about 88 degrees, basically. So your opponent is still in your front arc because you have to charge the target that's in your front arc. And that basically gives you an extra 2.5 inches of distance. They're March 8, so you're at 10.5. You can roll your die, but usually people are within 10 of you, and you just charge in and hit them. Clash 3 with your Impact 4, doing a bunch of work. They have 4 attacks with their Clash 3 inspiring to 4, does a bunch of work. They're great to kill lights with. They're great to get into a fight with mediums because of the defensive stat of 3 with a shield and resolve 4. They can just kind of take hits on the chin, just like Household Knights. But they also have the mobility to start setting those engagements in your favor by hitting people with the Alpha first and getting all the rest of your stuff up behind them. I really like them. They're very effective for what they do. You can do some really weird things with Fluid Formation where you can get into people's flanks, you can get around them and then spin around and then hit them from behind. There's a ton of fun stuff you can do with Fluid Formation. Yeah, I think that's about it for cavalry. To give you like a generalized idea just at the end here, mounted squires are your light skirmish cavalry, so you want to run around and just harass on the ends. They want to kill lights, they might want to get into fights with mediums, they're not really going after heavier targets. Household knights are your jack of all trades cavalry. You can build them with MSU spam, you can build them to big buff bus, you can build them in between, they'll cover whatever you need them to do. Crimson Towers are your shock cavalry. They want to be charging. If they are not charging, they are not doing damage. So you really want to charge somebody. So that means you really want to set them up in a hammer and anvil engagement. They combo really well with the Order of Ash and Dawn because the Order of Ash and Dawn are your brawler cavalry. These are the guys who want to get in and have a fight. The things that people will tell you to deal with cavalry do not work on the Ash and Dawn, and you have to rethink your game plan when playing into them. So with that, your Order of Ash and Dawn. They're also your anvil cavalry. Like, your House of Knights and your Sealed Temple can anvil, but if there's, like, a dedicated hammer coming towards you, your Ash and Dawn are going to be that your best anvil for that. This allows you to have whatever your Ash and Dawn are fighting hold them off for a couple turns while you get your Order of Crimson Tower into position so that you can flank charge, get around shields, get into your opponent rerolling morale, terrifying one kicks off, Brutal Impact 2 kicks off. Oh, it's just awful for people. Wedge kicks off. Like, you'll be doing well. So these two combo really well, but that's kind of their roles. Order of Sealed Temple are your jack-of-all-trades cavalry. They're a bit more expensive than a lot of other things, but they do cover a wider basis. Like, they can skirmish really well like the Mounted Squires. They can Lego really well. And they don't really Lego, but they have a better stat line base than the Household Knights. So they can kind of punch up and fight things pretty decently that are mediums. You could put a character on here and take the Tip of the Lance for Wedge so that they can like do some damage into some heavier targets. But they're very much like your jack-of-all-trades mobility cavalry, just doing some weird movement tricks, getting around, and they're your best unlock for Order of Ashendon. So with that, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to my cavalry rant. If there's anything else you want to know about 100k, let me know. The next one, we'll probably go through all the shooting in 100k. So, you know, Merc crossbows, longbows, all those guys, and we'll talk about guns in 100k. But this was cavalry. So, before I sign off, Bunk Table's got Discord, Bunk Table's got a podcast, and Bunk Table's got a YouTube channel. All those are descriptions below, and I hope you have a great day. Bye!